What's going on with everybody? This your man Dre, aka Dre on Wheels, the host of the 1130 Podcast Talk Pro Wrestling. Yo, you guys, man, sit tight, grab your popcorn, go get a Hot Pocket, man, get some cereal, grab your beverage, man, whether that's some milk, a beer, a soda, or some water, man. Sit tight, man. This is the 1130 Podcast Talk Pro Wrestling, where I interview some of your favorite ring announcers, referees, independent pro wrestlers, you name it, man. You name it, you guys. You tune in, and I'm about to chat some wrestling, man. So sit tight, you guys, and welcome to the 1130 Podcast Talk Pro Wrestling. And yo, ring the bell! Yo, what's going on with everybody? This your man Dre, aka Dre on Wheels. This is episode 27 of the 1130 Podcast Talk Pro Wrestling. How everybody doing out there? Appreciate you guys joining me back here for a new episode, a new week. You dig, man? So good morning, good night, good afternoon to all my listeners all over the world. Shout out to Germany, Canada, the UK, everybody all over the States. As I tune in to Talk Pro Wrestling, appreciate it so much. But before we move on, you guys, don't forget to follow the 1130 Podcast on all social media platforms and subscribe to the 1130 Podcast on YouTube. But you did, man, I'm back here on a new episode of Talk Pro Wrestling, you guys. Man, my guest this week is a big guest, man. He's the wig splitter. He's the big boy, never quitter from Brooklyn, New York. My guy, yeah. Tyree Taylor.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And let me get it fresh for our folk out there. I am the heavy hitter, the wig splitter, the never quitter, the big boy from Brooklyn, Tyree Taylor, representing them damn prolific boys. You know what it is? You know how it is, man. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. Before we dive into the interview real quick, I want to shout out my guy who was on last week, my man Dre, Big Baby from the Euro
Sports
podcast.
That's my guy.
Yeah, man. He was like, man, he was... Mm-hmm. Was going to be on when I told him about you and the interview with Shane Taylor that I had a couple of weeks ago. So that was dope, man. But yeah, man, like I was saying, you guys, man, from Brooklyn, New York, the heavy hitter, the wig splitter, Tyree Taylor, man. What's going on with you, man?
Nothing much. Before we get into that, I do want to shout out my boys since you brought them up, my boy Yerk Sports Show. Yeah. And you know, my guys at the Jabba Tears podcast, Jabba Tears Nation over there, those are my guys. They supported me and my prolific boys since day one. I love them to death, man. Absolutely. That's but cool. As for me, I'm doing great, man. You know, kicking quarantine's ass and, you know, still climbing, man, so we can get out of this thing running.
Real talk. That's what's up, man. Mm-hmm. How's life, man? I had you back on in September, man, and I see you doing real good things though. But mm-hmm. How's life and everything? How you stand?
It's actually doing a little better. Doing a little better. You know, you gotta move forward from stuff like this. You know, you tend to be stagnant in a place where you have to be stagnant. And that just doesn't fly with me. So, you know, you don't just, it just doesn't come to you. So you have to give that energy out. And, you know, when it comes to me proceeding with my process and trying to be better, I have to do that myself. So, you know, the work for 2021 starts now. So I gotta keep going. I gotta keep pushing. So as of right now, I got a smile on my face. And it's been doing great for me, man.
That's good, man. Yeah, the process for 2021, man, is right now, man. So right now. 2020, been a crazy year, but it's been blessed. And we're going to carry it over to the next year, man.
Yes.
You were on a road trip, man. I got to ask, man, how was it, man? You was all over, you know, flying all over the place for a minute, man. You know,
okay,
how was it?
So I had a special request from my mother, and she was moving from Minnesota all the way to South Carolina. That's a 19-hour trip. All right. And only had, you know, a limited amount of time. But I live in Massachusetts myself right now. So I had to go from Boston to Minnesota, help her drive to Minnesota to South Carolina, which I took about 16 of those hours, and then fly all the way from South Carolina back to Boston on Sunday. And I got there on Friday. So, you know, it was a hectic weekend. The trip was very, very enlightening, and very, you tend to soak in a lot of energy when you're in unfamiliar territory. So, you know, it was very beneficial and very eye-opening as far as like places I've never been before. So it was a wild weekend. So
that's good. That's cool, man. Mm-hmm. When this quarantine over with, I want to take some trips, man. I never really been, you know, to many places. So I would like to travel, man. Another thing, I would like to thank you for, it was 2 weeks ago that I had my guy, Shane Taylor on, and you sent in the video. He loved it, man. And, you know, I told him I had a surprise for him. Zoom was acting up a little bit. So, you know, we got him over the phone though, but I really wanted him to get it, you know, the video. I'm pretty sure he saw it by now, though. But
yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, so he was excited, and he was just like, you know, he loving what you and your boys doing, prolific, yes, and everything, and how you guys were tag team champs and reality of wrestling, man. So
yeah,
it was an honor. I want to thank you once again.
Oh, so, not a problem at all. It's for my guy there. Again, I don't think he knows how much his time and his influence really helped me out in my career. So if sending a videos to help him, make him smile for a couple seconds, man, that is the absolute least I can do for the brother. So I do appreciate the call out, man.
Real talk. No problem. Like I was saying, you still doing your thing, man. You in limitless wrestling right now, and you're kicking some ass. You was in a match with Alex Prince, man. You know, he was talking about you were supposed to check in and everything. And
yeah, man. He's a slimy kid. He gets around his little slimy, wiggly, lanky body. You know, he got me swift kick in the back of the head. But, you know, I left a lasting impression on him and Limitless. So, you know, that going forward, that should be a very interesting relationship. Going up in the Orono, Maine. So, you know.
Okay,
very good deal.
That's what's up. I'm looking forward to more of that. Something I saw earlier today that I want to see more. I seen it in AEW last year. I think it was last year, maybe. It was the Chris Jericho tour. It didn't air on TV, though, but I seen it, I think, on YouTube or something like that. It was a tag team intergender match, but mainly the guys were wrestling the women. Mm-hmm. And something I saw with you, I thought it was awesome, you know, and it tells a lot about, you know, the two people, you know, in the ring, you know, and who they could work with.
Yeah.
Deanna Diaz.
Yes.
You had a intergender wrestling match with her, and it was cool, man. I was like, please don't beat her up, man. But, you know, she tried to pick you up, and she was doing her thing, man. Like,
can you tell me more about little thing, man? Yeah. So, as far as like intergender wrestling for me, that was kind of my first foray. Of course, you know, when you're in a wrestling school, you kind of integrate the girls and the guys, whatever. So it's like we're always gonna have that thing there. But as far as on the big stage, that was my first actual like intergender match. So it was actual test for me just to see, you know, how well of a worker I am, and especially with my size and how people can overcome something like me. But you know, that doesn't come easy. as far as she saw it, that doesn't come easy. So, you know, there's a stigma on intergender wrestling. I think if you can overcome it, if you could tell a great story behind it, then it'll work. Especially with people in our community, you know, the stigma and stuff like that, it kind of stinks. So, you know, just to get out of that element and kind of go into the canvas of professional wrestling to make your own art, away from stigmas and stereotypes and stuff like that. So and you could just make art on that canvas of yours, and you know, intergender wrestling, it opens up not only the people, the guys, but it opens up a lane for the women, because there's some women out there, and there was one last night at training. And there's some women out there hit harder than the guys. Mm-hmm. It's hit harder than the guys. Big shout out to my girl Debbie Ann. Debbie Ann's been around for a while, and you know, she hits as hard as the guys. And I, you know, you itching to get in there because she could take as much as she can get. She can give. So you know, some of these women out here are nothing to play with. So it gives them a big lane to really do their work on. So. Absolutely,
that's what's up. Do you feel like it should be more intergender matches between, you know, men and women?
I think it should be available, not overused.
Okay.
If the story works, just like the like last year, that whole Edge and Randy Orton thing happened, and then Beth Phoenix was there. If they get a little something with Beth Phoenix, they don't have to go 20 minutes, but they can go like six with a good comeback and stuff like that. And you know, if the story is right, do it. You know, we're supposed to be safe workers, so you know, nobody should get hurt in the process, but the story should be amazing at the end of the day. So yeah. You know, it should be available, but not overused.
Right about that. Mm-hmm. Deanna Diaz, I seen her work with numerous guys.
Yes.
In the ring. So shout out to her, mm-hmm. and wish the best on her future. Absolutely. So that also tells, you know, what type of talent she is, that she would like to keep working with guys, you know, to actually mm-hmm. push her and further her and her career. We're gonna move on here on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of the tag team that's from Baltimore, Maryland, by the name of Pure Ignorance?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I had them young on the podcast.
Young kids.
Yeah. real cool guys, man. Yes, Chaz and absolutely. Prince. I had them on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. They were having some little issues today, though. But I was trying to get them in to say something to you because they were big fans of you. And
oh man!
I told them that I'll have you on the show. But they're gonna be on the show in a couple of weeks. So. Mm-hmm. What you think about
we gonna hop on? We gonna hop on? I'll hop on. You know, I'll probably bring them damn Prolific Boys too. You know, okay. Making a ruckus because they did run into them. Mm-hmm. Or did they run into a brick wall? So you okay. know, those boys are there. They got a bright future, man. I don't say that about many people. So you know, people like pure ignorance. The only reason why I say that is because, you know, anybody could be athletic, but do you have the mind for it? And the way you're talking to me and the way you're trying to advise for some sort of advice. So, you know, you're trying to pick my brain. You're trying to pick the elder statesman's brain. You know, it you know, says a lot, you know, it says a lot because more over than your character in the ring, should be the character outside of the ring that's going to get you far. So, you know, they already step up on everything.
That's very what's up. That's what's up. Appreciate that. You mentioned Prolific, man. How's Prolific going right now?
Man, Prolific right now. We have actually, you know, kind of built our brotherhood. You know, we've been friends for a long time, but, you know, during this time, they live in New York and I live in Massachusetts right now. So it's like we couldn't really like get together, but we've been talking all the time. We are kicking ideas off and our chemistry is so wild to where, you know, anytime we're stepping together, it's going to show. So me, Wolf and Marquis, you know, we always have that one mind, you know, one mission, three different styles, one mission. So three like-minded individuals, one mission. So, you know, we're all right. Like I said, we got to hit the ground running. So we're okay. just getting our bodies prepared. We're getting, you know, our things set up. And we got some things coming for the people when they come back. So,
yeah. That's what's up, man. You guys got a bright future, man. You guys got a bright future. Speaking of the future, I seen it on, you know, on your social media, and this past Saturday was crazy, man. I got to ask you, you know, your thoughts on, you know, the new president, man, and how things, you know, went and everything. So, got to ask you.
I am relieved. My thinking is, you know, the previous regime there, you know, it was very divisive, very poisonous, toxic, corrosive. It was damaging not only to the people who were seemingly against him, or his motive seemed to be pouring it towards, but the people who support him. It's kind of poisonous mind control type stuff. And, you know, and to the minute that decision hit, relief, all the pain, the pressure, the anguish of 4 years, it really started to get to people. It kind of just like dissipated, as well. Not saying that the work is over by any means, not saying that the, you know, we should just rest on our laurels now. But the utter relief of not having to stick to a new, stick your face in the screen for a news thing. What lie he said now, or what he said now to damage the people, to influence this riot or this, that, you know, it's relieving right now to just even listening to Biden's new Biden's speech. Mm-hmm. It was a sense of normalcy and a sense of, you know, ease, you know. So, you know, I'm relieved. It could have been a paint can, it could have been a glass cup, it could have been a old moldy shoe, but we had to get that cancer out just so this place can live again. So, you know, that's just my opinion, though. But
okay.
I'm relieved.
Okay. I'm relieved too, man. I seen it, you know, the news here on Saturday, and how it was, you know, going crazy down.
The news,
you know,
seems boring now, don't it?
It does.
It just really does. That's how it's supposed to be.
Like, okay.
Word.
All right, man. We're going to move on here on the podcast. Enough of the politics, man. Yeah. I was seeing you on another podcast.
Yes.
You was on The Angle Podcast. Mm-hmm. And you was on it with your boys, Prolific. Yeah. And you was asked the question, you know, the moment you kind of like got into wrestling, or that it joined you in. And you were talking about The Undertaker Ministry of Darkness.
Oh, man.
Is that your favorite Undertaker?
That is my favorite Undertaker. Everything, all the stars aligned with that Undertaker. The look, the theme song, his aura, just this. I don't know what that era did, but it was so majestic, and you know, stuff like that. And it was my favorite. Like, when the ministry happened, the corporate ministry, all that stuff, even though it was a bunch of malarkey, it was very cool aura. It was, especially growing up, you're impressionable, stuff like that. That was my favorite Undertaker.
Okay. That's what's up. A lot of people, you know, love that part of the Undertaker, you know, the Ministry of Darkness, man.
It's probably the goatee too.
Yeah,
the goatee, and the hair, the high bun. Yeah, it's
my favorite Undertaker, man. When I heard you say that, I was like, oh man, my favorite Undertaker is the American Badass.
Yeah,
you know, man, that it was just something different. You know, of course, he changed it up from you know, in the Ministry of the Darkness, and at that time in '98, it was the Monday Night Wars, and as he explained numerous of times, you know, he switched the gimmick up because, you know, a lot of stuff was going on. He didn't think that gimmick was going to thrive in the Monday Night Wars. So how did you feel about the American Badass character?
I'm actually surprised. A lot of people say, like, that's their least favorite Undertaker.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow. I hear a good amount of people say that. And and there's two different American Badass Undertakers. There's the American Badass, there's like the Dead Man Incorporated, like early 2000s. that one when he got away from when he wasn't with Kane, but he was like facing Jeff Hardy and stuff like that.
I know you're talking.
There's two different ones when he started using the Last Ride more, Hell's Gate, stuff like that. But you know, more that under that American Badass Undertaker. The early ones, you know, he you could tell he was like working out the kinks. You could tell he was working out the kinks. But once he got in that groove, oh yeah. Early 2000s Undertaker. It was amazing. I do, but they do say that like is one of their least favorite Undertakers because it was so drastically different from what the Undertaker is. I understand, but I will tell them they're wrong.
That's what's up. That's good. I never heard of that though. But okay. Speaking of the Undertaker, coming up at Survivor Series, it's supposed to be the Undertaker's farewell. Gotta ask you this. Of course, earlier this year we had the Undertaker's documentary on the WWE Network. He said that he's wrapping it up, he retired, he's not getting back in the ring. Do you feel like this farewell is about to lead on to a big matchup that's coming up at WrestleMania, or is just going to be a farewell and he just riding off into the sunset and that's it?
Either would work. I still feel like it should have happened like 5 years ago.
Okay.
Because, you know, as a fan, you, oh yeah, keep going, blah blah blah. But as a worker, you see him walking, you see him you know, working, and he looks in constant pain, and you know, and this stuff takes a toll on your body. You know, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years of high level performing takes a toll on you. Like, just like maybe somebody in another genre, Prince. But you know, Prince was going through his addictions with painkillers and stuff because he was performing at a high level with heels on, and it was messing up his hip. And he needed something to get him through that next performance and stuff like that. You know, and you can see where a lot of these wrestlers and performers, you know, they get hooked on the opioids, they get hooked on the painkillers and stuff like that, because this business here is tough. This business here is very damaging to the body, and longevity is something hard to come by from it. And for him to do it for 30 plus years, it's time. Love you to death. It's time. Enjoy your legacy. Enjoy your legacy, man. So sure. I think either would work for me, as long as it is.
Okay. That's cool. Before we take a commercial break, you guys, I got to ask you for any inspiring young professional wrestlers out there that's trying to make it in the wrestling business. Like you say, it's a hard business. What do you say to them? Like, what's your advice?
First things first, find a reputable school. Find a credible school, because there's a lot of schools out there, and I say only about 40% of them are decent. So you got to find a good one, even if it means traveling a little bit, even if it means, you know, having to drive 40 minutes, having to save that extra money for some gas or something like that. It is worth it to find a great school, and that you know, something that people come out of, or the teacher is very reputable and knows what he's doing. You know, anybody could open up a school, but somebody who knows how to run it. And I do say this to a lot of young guys. Sometimes it's just not for you. Sometimes it's just not for you. You're not getting it. It's not working out. It's not this and that. What I do advise, there's a lot of schools out there who do either open ring, or they do like fantasy camps, where it's like people who, like regular Joe Schmoes, can come in for a day and train like a professional wrestler and stuff like that. That's where I think, you know, a lot of people get their passion, or they get their, oh, I'm good mode from. So take a look at that. Seminars from credible people who've done it, fantasy camps, and also a credible school. You find those three things and you have the mental for it. You just have consistency. You're going to be decent in this business. That's all I got to say for real. A lot of people are going to tell you 1,000 things. But if you take one and apply it, then you take 1,000 days and learn one thing every day, you learned 1,000 things. So just listen and find the credible schools. Make the sacrifice, baby.
That was well said, man. Well said. In both, man. Hey, sometimes it ain't just for you. Okay. Hey, that's what's up, man. Hey, you guys, man, here on the 1130 Podcast, Talk Pro Wrestling. I got my guy, Tyree Taylor, the wig splitter, the big boy, the never quitter from Brooklyn, New York, man, chopping it up here on the podcast with me. You guys, sit tight. We're going to take a quick short break. And when we come back on the other side, we're going to talk some wrestling here on the 1130 Podcast, Talk Pro Wrestling. Is there?
When it comes to growing your podcast, it's tough to know where to start. That's why Anchor gives podcasters the tools they need to make each episode better than the last. Now, Anchor Analytics includes new stats from Spotify to help you better understand who's listening and what they like about your show. With charts that let you see how far people are making it into each episode and where they're dropping off, you can plan your podcast around the content that performs best. Hover over to see how many people are tuning into specific segments and learn what hooks your audience by comparing the average listening time across multiple episodes. Using anonymized demographic data from Spotify, take a granular look at the age and gender of your listeners to start tailoring your content or targeting new audiences. Track analytics from multiple platforms and Spotify insights. Everything you need to grow your podcast all in one place with Anchor.
Hey guys, welcome back here to the 1130 Podcast, Talk Pro Wrestling. Appreciate you guys sticking with me throughout the commercial break. Yo, you guys, man, I got my guy Tyree Taylor in the building. Sure. Boy, the wig splitter all the way from Brooklyn, New York, man. We back here on the podcast chopping it up. We're going to talk some wrestling, man. You're a big boy, from a big boy to another. I just got to ask because it's really weird and it's giving me some old vibes, though. Lars Sullivan.
Yes.
What's your thoughts on Lars Sullivan? If you may have seen him in the last couple of weeks, though, is giving me Heidenreich right vibes. So
yes,
I just want to hear somebody
about watching this stuff. Let's bring the personal stuff aside. You know, he thick boy. Big country boy, country size, biscuits and gravy guy. You know, the way you have to set someone up like that, you know, it's very important. I couldn't take him seriously for a second because he had the 40-year-old virgin shirt with the interview. Mm-hmm. If he just came in shirtless or something like that, ready to beat up Michael Cole or whoever's doing the interview right there. I think that was Corey Graves. You know, it'd have been better, but it can work out. History shows that those like side characters kind of don't work. You can go back to Heidenreich. You had to kind of force shuffle Heidenreich in. Nathan Jones, he found the better career, but still Nathan Jones got Mike Knox. Who else? You know,
Matt Morgan,
you know, so you know, guys like that who should be taking the world by storm. Mm-hmm. It just for some reason or another. Just doesn't work out. They gave Matt Morgan a stutter. Mike Knox, the whole ECW thing, which worked for him until he had to go out and actually, you know, produce, have some substance behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, you know, it can go into something. I think you don't need to do this extra interview stuff. Just have him rip some people apart. And go after that, because if you notice in NXT, he was killing it.
Yeah, and he
killing it and had those matches with Keith Lee that would like just be
right about that.
As Big E would say, two meaty men slapping meat.
Right.
So Hey, that's what we're here for. The big guys beat each other up. His story writes himself, you know?
I enjoyed him more in NXT. He had that badass entrance, too, where he was like a shadow.
Yeah.
It was cool. Right. So, so now it's just, I don't know, I'm getting a little Honeyrack vibes, though, but hey. Hope the best for him, though. Yeah. Since we're on the SmackDown side, last time we talked, was in the beginning of September. Mm-hmm. Roman Reigns was just coming back. He had Paul Heyman with him and taking on Uso. Now, it's a whole different total Roman Reigns. I got to ask, you know, what's your thoughts on it? And do you feel any mafia vibes from the Tribal Chief storyline?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we need it. Mm-hmm. Everybody's been clamoring for a heel Roman Reigns, and you got one, and you got a damn good one. So you got a damn good one that can work for a long time. It kind of goes into a bigger discussion. For a long time, people saying, you know, there's no real draw. Polarizing draw, WWE is the draw. I feel like a guy like Roman Reigns can have that John Cena pull, have that John Cena aura transitional thing with like The Rock did, you know, stuff like that. Especially if he's getting on TV other than wrestling, if he's getting on, you know, doing the Nickelodeon stuff, doing the Hobbs and Shaw movie, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff like that. He get a little role himself. He can be that guy to where you can plug and play main event, plug and play that. People got upset because they did that before the transcending. So now you got the transcending, it should be able to work right there. So having a heel Roman Reigns, putting his family on, having his culture on, because that's nobody talks about them Samoans. Samoans are there. The Samoans are there. There's a couple of his family members I've ran into. His Sefa Fatu, Jacob Fatu, you know, Lance Anawai, you know, so these guys are littered in the professional wrestling world. And to have them have the forefront of a big time WWE program, I'm super happy for those guys. So, you know, it means a lot to have a heel Roman Reigns in that capacity, definitely.
Okay. You mentioned WWE, of course, you know, the top dog and everything. Mm-hmm. Got to ask you, do you see yourself having a future in prolific in WWE?
I definitely do. I feel I'm maybe that confident right now. You know, sometimes you're not there for a long time, but you're there for a good time. And so even if I'm there for a sip of coffee, I'm gonna touch a ring one day. I'm gonna touch a WWE ring one day, and you know that is the goal. But the goal is for me to really is the travel. You know, Japan has been one of my favorite places to want to go and want to work and want to wrestle there. You know, if I get if I stay in Japan, I'm okay too. But you know, even if it's a sip of coffee for WWE, you know, I'll take it. You know, it'll be great for me. So
That's what's up. Speaking of being in WWE for a sip of coffee, Leon Ruff.
Yeah.
Haven't been in WWE for too long. Mm-hmm. Last night on NXT, I came in late. Because, you know, I try to stay on social media when I come in late because, of course, it's going to be spoiled. Okay. But I heard Johnny Gargano just going wild backstage, so I had to watch it over. And Leon Ruff, Johnny Gargano had to spin the wheel. So he spun the wheel, and he took on Leon Ruff, and he had the North American Championship on the line. I don't personally know a lot about Leon Ruff. I seen him earlier this year when he was taking on Aleister Black and getting Black Mask, but not too much. But I know I seen this guy somewhere. Mm-hmm. The way you sound, you know of Leon Ruff. Can you tell me something about him? And you know,
so he's one of those quick indie guys who I believe he was involved for a little bit. He was also in the bunch where one of my good friends who became one of my good friends AG who's now Austin Gray right now who he's He was in that class, I believe. And the guy is quick, like nobody's business. You like, you turn the lights on with the roaches, they get there, they're quick. before you get that foot on there, he's quick. And, you know, he's also very charismatic. So, you know, I didn't expect it. When I saw the thing on my phone, I thought it was Shane Strickland. I thought it was Shane Strickland. I look because, you know, you scroll down YouTube, you see the little squares and stuff like that. Oh, Shane Strickland won the... oh, no, that's Leon Ruff. and then I had to watch it. I had to see it. They did it. Oh, Chef Kiss. They did it beautifully.
Speaking of charismatic, I just knew one Damian Priest put the belt on him. I was like, that belt is not going to stay. And of course, you know, the moment where the belt falls as his pants fell, it was kind of cool. So I'm looking forward to it, man. I don't think that we haven't had a guy literally come in and be a champion on roughly his first day. I mean, he'd been in NXT for some time, though. But, you know, with your first match in this big stage, you know.
It was a mix between the 1-2-3 kid and Santino Marella.
Yeah.
When Santino first came in and Bobby beat up Umaga.
Yeah.
And then he came out the crowd.
Yeah.
He was champion day one. Mm-hmm. And like I'm happy for the guy. It was done really well. So yeah, and you know, you notice something like that, especially with the what people will gravitate to. You see something like that, a nice little jolt of energy. You notice like that yesterday, you start seeing all the clips of WWE like that night, whatever. They were like 9,000 views, 10,000 views. You go to the Leon Ruff thing, 60,000 views, mm-hmm. you know, already. And it was like an hour online. So, you know, people are watching. People are watching.
You're right about
it's important.
You're right. Another thing that took place this past weekend, we had Full Gear. Did you check out Full Gear?
I saw bits and pieces, but I was impressed. I'm not usually into the AEW, but you know, AEW, they showed up. They did the thing, man. Solidified a platform.
Okay. I had Stephanie Hardy on a bonus episode. Shout out to Stephanie Hardy, the host of the Hardy Wrestling Podcast. And she was, you know, going off and talking about how, you know, she don't like AEW. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and she has some cool points. You say you don't really watch it or check it out like that. Can you, you know, tell me what is it that don't sit right with you with AEW?
Without going too much into a tangent, they bring in a lot of people who should have star power, but they run into the problem of there's a saying, too many riches. You know what I'm saying? Too many riches, which means they have too many good people who should be stars. They bring them in, not realizing, hey, not everyone can win the championship right now. Mm-hmm. Not everyone can be a top dog right now. And it's not them. It's the fans around AEW. Because they say, oh, Rusev is now Miro on AEW. You know, he should be on the show, blah, 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 blah. But then you got Archer. You got Kenny Omega, who should be on. You got Paige, who needs a shot. This, you know, they got only have so much time. And then when a guy like Miro's not on Full Gear or not on something like that, oh, they burying Miro, you know. And you know, somebody's always getting buried because they took a L, or their favorites always come in from WWE, and now they stick up the joint because somebody has to put these guys over right now. And you know, Sean Spears, perfect example. You know, he was supposed to, oh, they're using him correctly. Yeah, but he's putting people over. He's putting people over, and that's kind of your job, you know, somewhat. There's not a guy who's standing out right now. Omega is starting to be that guy who should have been in the very beginning. But he was, like, he has stake in the company. you know, he's not going to day one, let me put the championship on me. Let me put the championship on myself and do that. And now it's time for him to take it. But a guy like Miro, a guy like Archer, a guy like, you know, Brody Lee, you know, there's only so much time on the program to get all these guys over some way. That's why they have Dark. They're trying to get another program on there. And it gets tough. Not everybody can win the championship. Not everybody can be undefeated. Not everybody can, you know, be pushed, so to speak. So, you know, they have an embarrassment of riches. That's the phrase I was going to. They have an embarrassment of riches, and not many people know how to utilize stuff like that. And people get stale. People can get, you know, put to the wayside like that. So that's kind of my problem with it. It becomes inconsistent sometimes. So, you know, that's my problem.
That's a cool point. Stephanie Hardy was basically saying she don't really like how the WWE guys or former WWE superstars will come over to AEW and they will bash WWE once they left, you know, be really bitter. You know, stuff like that. And I was saying, you know, a lot of wrestling fans of AEW are bitter because of what WWE, you know, has been putting on lately. Yeah. Well, I don't say lately, well, especially with besides the Roman Reigns, but, you know, the stuff they've been putting on, they've been bitter. They've been wanting more and et cetera, et cetera.
Don't get me started on wrestling fans.
I know it. I know them, man.
Wrestling fans are the most fickle fan base on the planet, because you know they would be like, "Oh, the Revival got released, so let's bring them on to AEW." Oh, what, they're champions? Oh, just another WWE guy being champion. What do you want? Exactly. What do you want, my friend? You got everything you wanted. Now you don't want it. Now it's bad. You know, it's you can't please them.
Can't. You're really right. The only thing I have a problem with, it's not really a problem, but a little situation is AEW Dark. I was having a discussion a couple of weeks ago, which, you know, it's cool. It's a great platform, which AEW is bringing in a lot of independent guys who cannot, you know, work right now. As far as that is perfect. But I feel as though Dark should not have to be 2 hours every week full of 13 matches that not going to really mean nothing besides, you know, Peter Avalon and
it's not canon, you know,
them like the only two who's like owing something. I mean, like, I think one of them got a win now, or two of them got a win, but besides that, that's like the only main story on the show. So it's, you don't have to have 13 matches, you know, for me to sit through, you know, for 2 hours or an hour and 50 minutes. Like, it doesn't, you know, when you're not progressing a storyline or doing anything on a show, it's just a bunch of wrestling. So,
if you could split those 2 hours into two different days, you know, get spread out the content instead of just say, hey, here's 2 hours of wrestling, here's an hour of wrestling on Tuesday, and here's one on Thursday, while what's the name is on Wednesday, you know, while the main show's on Wednesday or something like that, you know, it is a great opportunity, but again, it does seem empty, and it a dark match is supposed to be for trying out the talent, trying out new things. So, you know, I'm sure they got a little more leeway on Dark than they do actual television, but, you know, it's good. They just have to utilize it better to be honest. But you know, it's still a good platform. And I trust they'll do what they have to do to make it better.
Okay. Well said. Well said. Before we wrap it up here on the 11:30 podcast, Talk Pro Wrestling, Tyree Tell, you got any questions for me? You know, I've been asking you, you know, most of the questions the whole interview, but any questions for me?
All right. So I always test the legitimacy of people's fandom. So, How long have you been watching wrestling?
I've been watching wrestling since I was 8 years old. I was roughly in 1999-ish.
1999. Mm-hmm. So that is peak Attitude Era.
Yes, sir.
That is the decline of WCW. Okay. Yes. All right. So that is the decline of WCW. WCW ended in 2001. All right. So What did you, were you a WCW guy, WWE guy?
No, I really wasn't a WCW guy. I kind of like tuned in, you know, every now and then, but I really wasn't a WCW guy. I think the most WCW I probably watched was Ready to Rumble.
Ah, yes. Yes, Ready to Rumble there. Have you ever gone back to, like, on a network and watch some of the stuff?
WCW?
Yeah, or either WCW or anything, just be like... Yeah. What was I watching?
Oh man, yeah.
What was I doing?
Right now, you know, like I said, I've been watching wrestling since I was 8 years old. So I went all the way back to where I began. Of course, I watched some older stuff also, but I went back to where I began that because it was some great moments that I haven't seen again since I actually saw it.
Yeah.
So I'm actually now in the year 05. So, you know, 05 is, excuse me, it's a really great year, but it's some crazy things that went on.
Like,
yeah, you're right. Eddie Guerrero passed away.
Yeah,
you know, that year. You know, Dominic and, you know, his daughter starts to come on TV that year. Hogan comes back to take on Shawn Michaels that year. So it's a lot going
on. That was 05.
It's a lot. That's when the spinner belt came, you know.
Yeah.
And Batista, his whole rise with that, and man, it's a lot. It's a lot going on right now. And that's Edge just took Matt Hardy's girlfriend.
Yeah,
everybody hate Edge right now. So, you know, it's awesome going back looking at it. You know, so it's like, wow.
You know what that happened that year? Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Boy, yeah. That. What a year. Yeah, that's a good year. I don't know if it's a good year to start, but at least you got to build to 2005.
You'll
get overwhelmed with that year.
It's a lot.
But yeah, 2005 is a good year. That's good. I might go back myself and watch that. That's a good year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Or that would...
So, are you more of a like a live person guy?
Meaning what, like
as in like being the shows and stuff like that?
Oh yeah, as much as I can. Like I said, I've been to most of them here. My first show was actually when I was 16, and I turned 16 years old, 2006. That was my first show. It was a 3-hour Raw. Yeah, DX, I saw DX and everything. So my dream was to go to a show in The Rock would just be there somehow. I don't know how he'd get there, but he just would be there. Yeah, you know, like, I'm just like, they're in the middle of the ring, they put on the promo, and it's like, well, you know, tonight's your guy, you're going to face this guy. And I'm like, you know, hoping to be The Rock. But, you know, fortunately, I got him to see him once, you know, there. And I traveled to Baltimore and Richmond, Virginia, to some shows. But never been to a WrestleMania. I always ask everybody, you know, you been to a WrestleMania? So, most of them say, yeah.
Got to be at least once, man.
Yeah.
So as a fan, like I haven't really asked this, but I always wondered, what's your experience? Does your experience differs from live crowd, from being in the crowd to watching it? Is there a different vibe? Is there a different feel for the performers, for the wrestlers? How you take in your wrestling entertainment? Like, how does it feel? How's it different?
That's a really good question, because after I start going to the wrestling events, and I was like, you know, it's great. It really is. The great part about it is before it comes on and after it goes off and in between.
Yeah.
You know, of course, you know, being there, but, you know, watching it at home, you got your, you know, you can sit up on the couch, you can relax, you can be, you know, not bunched up with a lot of people. But when it goes off, me personally growing up, I hate when it went off, because, you know, they were, you know, at that time they would just go off, you know, so crazy, and it'd be like, oh man, I can't wait till next week, man, come on. So yeah, man, but been a fan since ever.
That's what's up.
Yeah, been a fan since ever.
Because a question like that, hearing it from a fan, you know, it kind of helps me out. You know, especially like, you know, trying to interact with the fans, trying to, you know, how to better my content as a professional. So, you know, that question was, I didn't expect anybody to answer it as well as you did. So appreciate that, brother.
Cool, man. Cool. I appreciate you asking me questions, man. I'm always asking the questions. So I appreciate it so much, man. We was talking about pure ignorance, man. We're going to try to get you and the boys on to, you know, to have fun and chop it up, man.
Hey, man, not hard to reach, brother.
Okay. All right. But before you go, man, any shout-outs, anything you want to say, we can catch you at wrestling?
Oh, boy. Shout-outs. My favorite time of the year. All right. So, you know, shout-out to the American gangster, Isaiah Wolf. Shout-out to the Marquis State of Mind, Marcus Markey. We all prolific. Shout-out to New England Pro Wrestling Academy, the school that I'm at right now. Shout out to all my peoples in reality of wrestling in Texas, Houston, Texas. I see them killing it all the time. I miss them so much. and you know, Book and Charmel and stuff like that. Miss those guys so much. Big shout out to those guys. Big shout out to the people who supported me from day one. People who got on the train later on. People who support me now, I tell them, support me now. The train is going. I'm starting to get it. I'm starting to get that little niche, that little rise up there. You know, I'm only accepting bandwagons from not too many people now. So you know, people come on and you're gonna enjoy this crazy ride of the heavy hitter, Wick Splitter, Never Quitter, Big Boy from Brooklyn, Tyree Taylor. Shout out to y'all guys, man. Real talk. Thank you.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Like you said, man, easy to find. You're welcome anytime here on the podcast. Keep doing your thing, train hard, stay safe out there. And I wish you the best, man. Once again, appreciate you joining me here on the 1130 podcast, Talk Pro Wrestling. You guys, that's my guy right there, Tyree Taylor.
Yeah, 1130, baby. Yeah. Oh, and if you don't know, now you know. And if you knew before, you'll never forget prolific. Here, we out of here, baby.
Yo, Tyree Taylor. Man, that is my guy right there, Mo. That is my guy. Shout out to Tyree Taylor. I appreciate you joining me here on Talk Pro Wrestling this week. You're welcome anytime, man. Anytime. I love the questions, man. I'm always asking the questions. So thought I'd ask you, man, for some questions you might want to ask me. Once again, everybody, man, I just appreciate you guys joining me here for a new episode, new week here on the 1130 podcast, Talk Pro Wrestling. That was my guy, Tyree Taylor, once again. But you guys, man, before we wrap it up and, you know, before I wrap it up and go, I would like to thank everybody that support the 1130 podcast on YouTube and watch the main podcast every Tuesday, streaming 1130 a.m. Eastern Time. Appreciate it so much. And everybody, I want to thank everybody that support the 1130 podcast, Talk Pro Wrestling, each and every Friday, and include some bonus episodes as well. So follow the 1130 podcast on all social media platforms. Follow me on Twitter at DreOnWheels. Follow the 1130 podcast on Instagram at the 1130 podcast. Like the 1130 podcast Facebook page on Facebook, of course, and you know, subscribe. Once again, hit that subscribe button down below if you're watching this on YouTube, or head over to YouTube and go subscribe. And of course, if you're listening to Talk Pro Wrestling on Spotify, Anchor FM, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, don't forget to follow me. Leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and leave a review, man. And I appreciate it so much, man. Ooh, this was a fun episode. That was really fun. Can't wait to have my man Tyree Taylor on again. But you guys, man, this your man Dre, aka Dre on Wheels. Everybody, hope you guys stay safe out there. Have a good weekend. See you guys on Tuesday on YouTube. And also, see you guys next Friday here on Talk Pro Wrestling. Once again, it's your man Dre, aka Dre on Wheels. And I'm out.